I have a couple of readings. The first one is in 2 Chronicles and chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hands. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odours, and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. And then a second reading from Revelation in chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Let's just pray. Father, we seek your face now, and we ask that we might be able to hear from you. Lord, that you would speak into the midst and show us our need, that you would show us where we need to change, where our priorities need to change, that we might be a people who are walking right with you. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to begin our thoughts this morning in this passage in Revelation chapter 3. Here is a church that was perhaps once great, but something has changed, something has gone wrong in their experience. And Now the Lord is judging them to be lukewarm. They're judged as being neither cold nor hot. They're in a position where they shouldn't be, and the Lord Jesus is coming and he has a specific message to them, that they are neither cold nor hot. They're in a place where they can't really minister to the outside world. They can't do anything really to serve God because of the weakness that has come into the church and the lack of power. But the thing that I want to focus on this morning is that to a church in that position, as we might say to a person in the position of weakness, the message that the Lord comes in and says is, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. God has come into the church with a message, and he said, there's something that you haven't got that you really need, and this is the answer to all your problems, and that is gold. He's talking about spiritual gold, obviously not physical gold. And the thing that he's really talking about is the presence and the power and the glory of God. You see, gold in the scriptures symbolizes God himself, the power, the presence, and the glory of God. Gold, as a precious metal, it doesn't rust. It has a sense of permanence, and that is true of God. And God, because he's unchanging, because there's such riches in God, gold is used to symbolize God himself. And so when the Lord Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, the thing that is missing is gold, real gold, what he is saying to them is, what you are lacking is my presence, what you are lacking is my power, and the one thing that you really need is the thing that is lacking from your church. And if you had this one thing, in a sense, you would have everything. And so that is perhaps the crux of the message today, that God would say to us that we need to buy gold tried in the fire. And if you look at gold is as something that shines, it reflects the light. And the gold, the reflection of the light in the gold speaks of something of the glory of God. And as gold shines forth, so God, when he is present amongst his people, his glory shines forth. So to any church, any person in a place of spiritual weakness, God says, buy gold. And that gold is the very presence of God himself. But I want to return to this passage in 2 Chronicles in chapter 16. And we're looking really at the subject of how has the gold disappeared? How has the gold disappeared from the church? How has the gold disappeared from our own lives as Christians? If we are feeling in a state of weakness as Christians, if we feel we're not where we should be, if we feel we don't have the power and the glory of God dwelling inside us, the riches of Christ in us in a powerful way, if we look at the state of the church and we see there is a lack of the power and the glory of God within the church, we need to ask the question, where has it gone? And how has it gone? What made it disappear? And so we find very much the answer to the question comes in this story of King Asa. King Asa was in many ways a good king. He was a great king. His father Abijah was a wicked man, but he was a good king. And as Asa became king, he came in and he reversed some of the evil things that had happened in the past. And really, he got the people to start seeking the Lord. That was the key thing that he did. He sought the Lord and he caused the people to seek the Lord. And not only that, but he destroyed the idols. And even he removed his own mother from being queen because she was an idolater. And he destroyed her idols. So in many ways, King Asa was a great king. And because he sought the Lord gave him great victory in his battles. And we find that he was invaded by the Ethiopians. And when he had trouble with the Ethiopians, he was victorious. He sought the Lord and he trusted in the power of God. And as a result of this, he had a great victory over the Ethiopians through simply trusting in the power of God. But now in the passage that we've read in 2 Chronicles and chapter 16, he's been king for some time now, and he's been through various experiences, and he's had various victories and various battles that he's come through. But at this stage in his life as a king, he finds that the king of the northern kingdom, the king of Israel, Baasha, comes and starts besieging him and starts causing him problems, and he's in a sense being invaded by the northern kingdom. Now, in spite of the fact that he has known so many victories in the past as a result of trusting in the Lord, yet at this time in his life, when he faces another challenge, instead of trusting in God and simply turning to God and asking God for his help, he looks to another method. And what he does is he calls on another king, a heathen king, the king of Syria, and says, if I pay you well enough, will you come to my aid and help me to deal with the king of Israel? And the king of Syria comes in and he says, yes, I will help you. And he deals with the king of Israel. But then as a result of this, the prophet comes and says, you've done so foolishly. Because if you had just trusted me, I would have delivered you from the attack from Israel. But on top of that, I would also have brought Syria into your hand. But because you didn't trust me, Syria is going to be a problem to you. And we find, as you read through the history of Judah, that Syria continues to be a problem for many years to come. But I want to bring this down to our own experience, because so often in our Christian lives, or in the life of the church, when we are facing difficulties, when we're seeing a lack of power, when we're seeing a lack of things happening, that the thing that we do is we resort not to God. We resort not to God, but we resort to our own strength. We seek to do things in our own strength, and we seek to use man's methods and all the things of man to help us in the midst of the problem in which we find ourselves. And just as Asa sought to the king of Syria, so we seek to use man's methods to deal with the problem in which we find ourselves. And if we look at the state of the church nationally, where there's so little power in the preaching of the gospel, and we simply find that you try and preach the gospel and nothing is happening. And when in previous times you could preach the gospel and tremendous things would happen, people would be saved easily. In our day, when you seek to preach the gospel, it's very hard to see people saved. And as a result of this, the church nationwide has sought other means in order to deal with the problem. And I won't mention them by name, but the different courses that have sprung up, whereby you coax people into the kingdom of God, and if you make it easy enough for them, and use your own devices, give them free meals and so forth, you gradually coax people into the kingdom of God, and this has really been what has been happening in the last 20 years or so in the church in Britain, that instead of trusting in the power of God, we've been trusting in all these other schemes. Well, maybe I will mention it. Things like Alpha, for example, and the purpose-driven life, things where it is simply man's ideas and man's methods, things by which we say, the power of God isn't working, so we're going to use these methods that man has in order to coax people into the kingdom of God. Now, when King Asa sought for help from Syria, sought for help from man, he had to pay something in order to get that. It didn't come to him free of charge. He had to pay. And what he had to do was to take the gold and the silver that was in the temple of God, and with that he had to buy this help from Syria. And so within the temple you had this gold and the silver, and it was speaking of the power, it was speaking of the glory of God. And that is the very thing that King Asa had to use in order to get the help from man. And we find exactly the same thing in our own experience, that as soon as we seek to get the help of man and to use man's methods and man's devices in order to deal with the problem, whether it's the lack of power in the preaching of the gospel or any other problem that we find in our own lives, in the church life, what we pay for it with is the glory of God. The glory of God goes out of the temple as soon as you resort to man's devices and man's methods. And you see, this is what has been happening over the past few years in the church, that we have sought to do things in our own strength. Instead of seeking in the time of weakness to the Lord and saying, Lord, we don't know what's wrong, but Lord, come and help us. We rest in thee and in thy name we go. We have resorted to man's methods. And the glory of God has vanished right out of the temple, right out of the church of God. And you see, we fail to see that as was said to the Laodiceans, that the one thing that is really valuable within the church, the thing that makes it worthwhile, the thing that makes it have life, the thing that gives it the power, is the glory of God. And rather than longing that the glory of God should be within the temple, within the church, we've said it's not working. We've said it's not working. And we've resorted to every other means that we can in order to lever people into the kingdom of God. And it's simply not working. And so Asa, this is what Asa found, that he had to pay. He had to pay for the help of man with the gold. And we as individuals, we as a church, have paid for the help of man with the glory of God. And this is so often the situation within our lives as individuals, that in our time of need, in our time of difficulty, we have resorted to human help in order to solve our problem. Whatever it is, whatever resources we feel we might have, maybe going to the state, maybe our own intellect, maybe money, whatever it is. And we have resorted to our own selves or to the help of man in order to deal with the problem. Instead of resorting to God, going to God and saying, Lord, I want you to come in this situation. And the result of this is that the glory of God has gone out of us. Now, the Bible says that we as individuals are temples of God, and we collectively as the church are the temple or the tabernacle of God. And so just as the glory of God has departed out of the church as a result of us trusting in man and seeking to get this help from man, so we find that the glory of God departs out of us as individuals. As soon as we spend our time resting upon man, resting upon our own strength, instead of being so wholly given over to God that we are resting in God. And when we're in that position where we are utterly yielded to God, then we find that the glory comes to dwell in us. And you look at a person who is filled with the glory of God. They're filled with the power of God. That is a person who is wholly yielded to God, wholly given over to God. And God has said, right, now I can fill you because you've given up on yourself. You've given up on your own strength and you've allowed me to fill you. But I want to look now at how it is that the gold first came in to the temple and the tabernacle. As if we see that this is one way in which the glory, the gold departed from the temple by paying for the help of man. How is it that we get it back? And it will be useful to look at how the gold first came to come into the tabernacle and the temple. And so the first thing that I want to look at is in Exodus 35. When Moses is first setting up the first tabernacle, They obviously need a lot of gold and jewels and other materials in order to build the tabernacle. Moses calls on the children of Israel, and he says, whoever is willing, whoever wants to make an offering unto the Lord, there's a free will offering, anyone who wants to give something to the Lord, they can do that, and they can come and bring gifts in order to build this tabernacle, gifts of gold and silver and other precious things. And it says in Exodus 35, verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And so here you have the children of Israel, and they have various things that they might call their own. They have their precious things. Now these belong to them. They were their bracelets, their earrings, the different things. And they would perhaps have considered them very precious to themselves. They owned them. And yet many, it says, came, and they brought these jewels, and they brought them to Moses in order that the tabernacle might be built, and so that the gold might come to be within the tabernacle. And you see, this is the first way that gold came to be in the tabernacle, through the gifts, through the offerings that were made by the Hebrews, by the children of Israel. And so we find that if we want the gold to return to our hearts, the presence, the glory of God, and the glory of God to return to be within the church, within the assembly, the first thing that we will find is that when we start to yield up to God the things that are precious to us, that the glory of God can come back in. And each of us will have things that we find are precious to us. They may be activities, hobbies that we enjoy doing. They might be all sorts of things that we can say are rightfully ours. They may be not harmful in themselves. They're innocent pleasures, perhaps. But God will start to put his finger on those things. And as we start to yield them to the Lord and give them up to God, then that, as it were, then the Lord can fill us with his glory. And that's, as it were, the gold coming into the temple, coming into the tabernacle, and the presence of God comes there, because you have laid aside something else that God might come in. And then the second way in which the gold came into the temple, we look at Joshua and chapter 6. Joshua and the children of Israel are going out to battle, and they go against Jericho. And Jericho is the enemy of God. It's a place of wickedness. And Joshua and the children of Israel go out to battle against Jericho. And when they have gone in there, and with the help of God, in the strength of God, they have wrought a great victory over Jericho. And they go in and they kill everyone, and they destroy the place, and they burn it down. But what they do is they bring out the silver and the gold, and those are the things that are allowed to go into go into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And so there, where there is perhaps seen as a lack of gold in the temple, a lack of gold in the tabernacle, the way that the gold in that situation comes into the tabernacle is through the winning of a spiritual battle. And as they went out in battle and conquered Jericho, so there came gold, then that gold came in to the tabernacle. and there was gold, as it were, the glory and the power of God dwelling right in that place in the tabernacle. And so we will find in our own lives, when we come against temptation, when we come in a spiritual battle, and it's a moment of testing, when we overcome that and we do what God is commanding us to do and we are obedient to the Lord and we yield to Him, so the glory and the power of God comes to dwell inside of us. And we have that power and we have that life and we have that reality. And so often there is the lack of that life and power and glory within our lives because we're living as people who are lukewarm, who are not willing to make the sacrifices, not willing to make the offerings before God. And we're saying, I want it all for myself. And these precious things that are in my life, I want them for myself. And I'm going to keep them for myself. And as a result of that, the glory of God is not within inside us. And so we look at the state of the church and we look at individuals within the church and we say, well, the glory of God is missing. There's something vital that is missing from the church. And it's because we're not willing to bring that offering, those precious things that are within us, within our grasp. You remember David said, I am not willing to bring an offering to the Lord that has cost me nothing. You remember that? I'm not willing to bring to the Lord an offering that has cost me nothing. And I wonder so often when we bring our offerings to the Lord, they're things that have cost us nothing. And we never come with that thing that will really bless the Lord, something that has cost us. And as a result, the glory of God is not within us. But that moment when we come to God and say, Lord, I want to give everything I am, everything I have to you. Just fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your glory. I have nothing left that I call my own, nothing that I'm going to hang on to. Then God can fill us. And I believe as the people of God, as a church, when we start to live in that way, you remember the early church, they had everything common. They had nothing that they had called their own. And the glory of God filled that church. Do you remember in Acts how they are praying to the Lord? Acts chapter 4. And they're really praying to the Lord that God would move amongst his people. They're not looking to themselves to do anything. But they say to God, Acts 4 and verse 28, do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe that the reason why the buildings in which we meet are not shaking with the power of God, the glory and the power of God are not amongst us, it's because we're not in that position where we are yielding everything to God and allowing His glory to come and fill the place. You see, as long as we're hanging on to these things, in a sense we're hanging on to the arm of flesh, we're hanging on to the power of man. But as soon as we are completely given over to God and say, nothing of me, Lord, and all of you, I don't care about my life anymore. I don't care about the things that I receive, but I simply want it all to be you. Then the glory and the power of God can come back into the temple, back into us as individuals. And then that is the place where God is really glorified. I wonder if we are, as the people of God, so concerned about the glory of God and his name, and having his power, his gold within the tabernacle, that we're going to be willing to live in that way. Not to hold anything back, but to yield everything to the Lord, that he might have his way amongst us. Not to be thinking that we're going to do things in our own strength, but to be so given over to God, that he can do what he wants to do amongst us. And if we see the need in our day, the need for the lost to be saved. And the temptation is always there to find a means to bring them into the kingdom. Even the work that we're doing amongst the young people here, there's a temptation continually there to try and find a way to coax them in, to cajole them into the kingdom of God, rather than just to see God move upon them. But if we want the glory of God to be here, to be dwelling here in power, It has to be, we have to be so yielded, so wholly given over to God, that God himself can move amongst us and God himself can have his own way. And then as God has his own way and God is doing the work and he is bringing the change in people's lives, then the glory of God is dwelling amongst us and we are so satisfied because it's all God. It's all the glory of God. It's all the power of God. And it's nothing of man. The things of man will never satisfy. But when God is here in his power and in his glory, everything changes. Just to conclude, returning to Revelation chapter 3. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, just the presence of God himself and his glory coming and dwelling amongst us. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And you see, that is the situation that we are so often in, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, is outside of the meeting. And God really, in telling us to buy gold, is saying, I want to come in myself and be amongst you. And I want to glorify my own name. May God give us grace to seek not after the arm of flesh, not to seek for help from man, but to be so completely given over to God that God himself can enter in here with all his power and change the situation and glorify his name. Amen.